Diary of Fate. Fate plays no favorites. It could happen to you.
Book 84, page 902. Here it is. A detailed record of the last days of Stanley Becker. An incorrigible fraud. Yes, Stanley, it was inevitable that you would perish because of the narcotic hypocrisy on which your ego fed. The one person you deceived most of all was yourself. And now, as the record of your life lies open before me, I, Fate, look ahead to an instant of horror.
Let me talk to Anastasia, will you?
Impossible, Mr. Becker.
What? Why, what's the matter? Who is this?
Detective Sergeant Cooper. There's been a stick-up here.
A stick-up? But Abe, he's all right, isn't he?
No, Mr. Becker. He isn't all right. As a matter of fact, he's dead.
In the life of Stanley Becker, an infamous decision was made. Then I, Fate, intervened. And because of a little thing, an overturned wastebasket, Stanley Becker will die. But mark well my words. I, Fate, am but the instrument of an inflexible plan. Soon I will read again from the Diary of Fate.
Before the strange story of Stanley Becker, here is our announcer.
Becker chose for evil. But in the last analysis, it was the little seemingly unimportant things that determined the final outcome. Remember where it started, Stanley? You had just arrived in the city and were delayed in getting off the train. Then as you ran toward the taxi stand at the railroad station, a little thing happened.
Taxi! Hey, taxi! Wait!
Hey, you there! You dropped your wallet!
What's that? Are you calling me?
Yeah, you dropped your wallet. Here it is.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot, fella.
Taxi! Taxi!
Ah, nuts. The last cab and I missed.
Well, if you're going uptown, I'd be glad to give you a lift. There's my car there.
Well, swell. I sure appreciate it. Say, it's quite a car.
I got 100 of them. Some better than this. Hop in.
What do you mean? What do you mean you've got 100 cars?
Oh, that's right. I am a dealer. Honest Abe Davidson. Buy, sell, or trade. Everything's fair but the wheels. Who are you?
Becker. Just Stanley Becker.
Well, glad to know you, Stan. You're a stranger in town, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
You're here on business?
Yeah, that's right. But I may stay if I like the place.
Oh, that's a great city. Yeah, you love it. By the way, what business you in?
Oh, I'm a broker, but hardly in used cars.
Oh, is that so? Well, I wish you luck, kid. You've got all the necessary elements of appearance.
What do you mean, appearance?
You look prosperous and settled. But I bet plenty that it stops right there.
Oh, you would, eh? Well, let me tell you something.
No, don't get sore, kid. That's a hobby of mine, sizing people up.
Hmm.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Hmm.
But I like your looks, and that cocky attitude of yours is worth cash in my business. How'd you like to work for me?
Peddling used cars? No, thanks. Not today, Mr. Davidson.
Yes, Stanley. Because you dropped your wallet, you met Honest Abe Davidson and were offered a job. But selling used cars was beneath you. November passed and part of December. And the miraculous break you thought you deserved failed to materialize. Finally, with your money almost gone, you decided to call on Honest Abe and take the job he had offered. But then another little thing happened.
Hey, Henderson. 1-1-2-1.
Hello?
Hello? Oh, is this...
I'll bet you're in the market for a nice, fancy used car, aren't you? Well, you have the wrong number. Honest A. Davidson is at Henderson 1-1-2-1. This is Hillcrest 1-1-2-1.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have made a mistake in dialing.
Oh, don't apologize. Hundreds of others make the same mistake. But I don't mind. Keeps me from feeling lonely.
Well, in that case, I'm delighted. You're the most charming wrong number I've ever called.
Thanks. But I hope your wife likes the car.
Not a chance. You see, I don't have a wife. I don't even have a phone that gets wrong numbers.
Oh, poor man. Well, if things get too tough, you can use mine.
Thanks. This is one wrong number I intend to get again.
It was a little thing, Stanley. A wrong telephone number. But the girl's voice thrilled you. And you were still smiling as you dialed the correct number. And Honest Abe answered. He remembered you. And an hour later, you were talking in his office at the back of the used car lot.
Son, Honest Abe Davidson is a man of his word. If you want the job, it's yours.
Fine. It's a deal, eh? Yeah. Hey, this is quite a bronze bust of Lincoln you've got here, huh?
Yeah. Anything about the original Honest Abe goes a long way with me. There was a truly great man. Yes, sir, the life of Master Lincoln is my philosophy.
Uh-huh.
Ever done any bookkeeping, Stan?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
Good. I can use help in that department. And later on, I'll explain about our banking routine too. Mm-hmm. There's not much to it, but that's the worry.
Oh, yeah.
We deal a lot in cash.
Okay, Abe. But the main part of the job is selling, isn't it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, don't worry, Stan. You'll do all right under commission.
I'm not worried.
You don't look overjoyed either. How about an advance on your salary? Could you use some cash?
Well, frankly, I am a little short.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, we fix you up. And you might as well get the feel of the product, too.
Mm-hmm.
Take one of the cars out tonight. Get a date. Have a nice evening.
Well, Abe, you're one of the strangest guys to work for I ever saw.
I am no soft touch, son. That's just... Then I want anybody who works for me to have a lot of self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of the things Honest Abe Davidson learned from Honest Abe Lincoln.
Yes, Stanley. With a big car and money, you are once again a man of means. And now you follow the girl to whom you had spoken earlier when you got the wrong telephone number. You called her and invited her to have dinner with you. She surprised you by accepting. And the address she gave you startled you. It was one of the city's most exclusive apartment hotels. When you met her, Stanley, you were dazzled. For she was very beautiful.
So this is the car you bought today, Stanley. It's nice.
No, it'll do, I guess, Barbara. If you need a car in a hurry these days, you're compelled to compromise.
And you need a car in your work, is that it?
Cost me a fortune in cab fares otherwise. Well, where would you like to eat? Could you help a stranger out and give me some ideas?
How about the Carlton Terrace? They have heavenly lobster and heavenly music.
Okay. Heaven, here we come.
Yes, the evening was a success, Stanley. Your fraudulent pose as a man of wealth had impressed Barbara Marshall. And as the weeks went by, you shared other evenings together, more and more frequently, for you had fallen desperately in love. You worked hard in Honest Abe's used car lot, only to squander your earnings in the exhausting effort to maintain your position with Barbara's circle of rich friends. Finally, one night at a gambling table in the Shamrock Club, You were forced to a decision.
Come on, Dice. One more time. Seven.
Oh, Stan, you did it again. Eight passes in a row.
Yeah, see? $1,000.
Let it ride. And here's another $1,000 to go with it. Oh, I'm just getting warmed up. Now you'll really see something.
Hey, sorry, sir. There's a $1,000 limit.
What? $1,000 limit?
Yeah.
You guys scared of a big bet?
Hardly. It's a house rule, sir.
Well, how do you like that? Just how cheap can a place get?
What's the trouble here, Carter?
A gentleman wishes to bet beyond the limit, Mr. Martin.
Oh? How much has he won?
About $5,000 altogether, sir.
I see. I don't often gamble professionally, but when I do, I like to make it exciting. I'll bet $5,000 and $5,000 more against your next roll.
Oh, that's $10,000, sir.
I'm afraid I don't have quite that much with me.
Oh, I'm perfectly happy to accept your IOU. After all, you're with Miss Marshall here.
Well, I...
If you can't afford it, Stan, I...
All right. All right, Martin. $10,000 it is. Give me those dice.
12. Too bad. You lose.
For a moment, Stanley, you were dazed. Then, as your arrogance faded, the grim reality of what you had done closed over you. For if you failed to pay off the debt, the least you could expect was that Martin would make you a laughingstock before Barbara and the very people you had tried so hard to impress. You spent a night tormented by worry, but the next morning at work, you decided on the course to follow.
Have any trouble opening the safe, Stan?
No, I've got the combination now, Abe. Is everything here in the satchel that you want me to take to the bank?
Yeah, it's all set. Stan, there's something on your mind. I can tell. Now, what is it?
It's all right, Abe. I'd like to borrow $5,000 from you.
Yeah, I knew this would happen the way you've been going. Stanley, I'm telling you this for your own good. You're only fooling one person that really counts. And that's yourself. Remember, Mr. Lincoln once said that a man...
I don't care what Lincoln or you or anybody says. I didn't ask for advice. I asked for a loan. I've got to have that money, Abe.
No, that's where you're wrong, son. First thing you've got to have is an honest basis with yourself. If I give you the money, you'll never learn that lesson.
You won't lend it to me then. Is that it?
That's right. But I'll trust you to get that satchel to the bank. You see the difference, Dan?
Yeah, I see. I see, all right.
And don't forget to call me when you get there.
Don't worry. I'll call you, as usual.
As you stormed out of the office, Stanley, the wave of fury that boiled up inside you slowly congealed to an unreasoning hatred. For the one man to whom you could turn for money had refused you. And everything you prized in life was threatened with destruction. Yes, soon you will face another decision, Stanley Decker. And soon I will write again on your record in the Diary of Fate.
Our story will continue in just a moment. Now, here is our announcer.
Abe refused your request for money, you knew that everything you cherished was precariously near collapse. The next evening, you were with Barbara, and although she was exceptionally attentive, you found it impossible to forget about Martin and the $5,000 you owed.
Well, darling, what'll it be tonight?
Huh? What did you say, Barbara?
I said, Stanley Becker, something's bothering you. What is it, tell me, Stan?
It's me, Barbara. I'm a fake, four flusher. You see, I haven't got a penny to my name.
What? You broke?
Flat broke. It's been a front from the very beginning. I'm a second-hand car salesman for Honest Abe. Make a couple of hundred a week when I'm lucky. What's more, the car I drive is his, too.
Didn't You can't pay Mr. Martin, is that it?
Yes, that's it. Well, darling, I didn't want to lie to you, but... Well, I guess I fell in love too fast. But believe me, Barbara, I wasn't after your money. I'm not a fortune hunter. Barbara! Barbara, what are you laughing at? Stop it!
Oh, it's hard to stop. You see, darling, it's very funny. We're in the same boat. I haven't got a penny myself.
What? But this apartment...
It's a friend. She's in Europe now. Oh, I had money once upon a time, but I blew it. Spending is easy, Stan.
Yes, it's easy, all right. Well, now that our mutual confessions are over with, I don't suppose there's much else to be said.
Well, that depends on one thing, Stan. Are you really in love with me? Now this minute?
Yes, Barbara, I am. I always will be.
Then nothing's changed, darling. You see, I love you, too. And somehow, Stan, we'll work our way out of this.
Yes. Yes, Barbara, we will. One way or another, we'll get our hands on some money.
Yes, Stanley. One way or another, you had to have money. For now that you were certain of Barbara's love, nothing else mattered. The next morning was Saturday, and you arrived at your office early, determined to approach your employer again.
Oh, well, then it's the deal. Yeah, I look for you a week from today at 4 o'clock sharp. Yes, I'll have it in cash, all right. Okay, goodbye. Well, Stan, the ship is weathered every rack, the prize we sought is won.
Yeah?
That's Walt Whitman on Mr. Lincoln's death. But it sure fits this occasion. Remember that Burton O'Dell I told you about?
The fellow from Detroit.
Yeah. Well, I finally closed that deal with him. For $30,000, I'm getting a dozen of the sleekest limousines you ever see.
Well, I'm certainly glad, Abe. Now maybe you won't mind if I talk to you about...
Lending you that money? My boy, it's written all over your face. Sorry, Stan, but the answer is still no.
But, Abe, I need it. I've got to...
Come on, Stan, let's get to work now. Get the money out of the safe.
Okay.
There's $6,000 in checks and $1,100 in cash. You go to the bank.
28. Right to zero, then to 11.
Be sure to call me, Stan, the minute you get to the bank.
I always do.
Yeah, I know, but there have been a half a dozen stick-ups in the past couple of weeks, and it worries me.
Okay, Abe. I'll call you the minute I step into the bank.
Even as you drove toward the bank, Stanley, you realized there was no one to whom you could turn. But a half hour later, when you stepped from your car and your fingers closed on the handle of the satchel of money, you made a decision for evil. When you entered the bank, you called on the safe and assured him you were safe. Then you deposited the money. But the rest of the morning, your mind was in turmoil as you discarded one unsatisfactory plan for robbery after another. Finally, by late afternoon, you were satisfied that you had an infallible scheme. An hour later, as you drove over a desolate suburban road with Barbara, you carefully explained that scheme.
Look, Barbara, it's this easy. Abe is closing a $30,000 cash deal next Saturday at 4. And every cent of that money will be tucked away in the safe.
To which you have the combination.
Yes, but it won't play that way. You see, that money will be in a drawer inside the safe. A drawer which only Abe can unlock.
Well, then how are you going to get hold of it?
This way. Next Saturday, I'll get to the office early and take the satchel out of the safe. But instead of leaving for the bank, I'll step behind the far door.
Then when Abe comes in, he'll go directly to the safe to check on the $30,000. Is that it?
Exactly. And he'll find a note from me saying that I've left for the bank and will call as soon as I get there. Which, incidentally, I'll be certain to do.
And when Abe unlocks the drawer in the safe?
Then I'll step out quietly from my hiding place, and without being seen, I'll gently but firmly put my dear employer to sleep. After that, I'll come to your place and leave the money with you. Then I'll go to the bank and make my routine call to Abe.
But won't you be suspected?
With the stick-ups that have been going on lately? Not a chance. Besides, I'll be above suspicion. Abe trusts me. After all, I'll just have finished depositing some of his money.
Yes, Yes, Stanley. Your scheme for robbery was carefully planned. And during the days that followed, you checked and rechecked every detail. Until finally, by the following Friday, you were confident of success. It was then that you were about to leave the office that I, Fate, intervened. And a little thing happened.
Say, Stan, before you go, will you get me the file on that Kramer sale?
I'll be glad to, Ed. It's right here on my desk.
What's the waste basket, Stan?
Confound it. Well, there's a pretty mess. Abe, this paper. Crumpled here in the basket, it's the Nadella contract, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But don't worry, my boy. It's not dead, merely postponed.
Postponed?
Yeah. Bert Nadella couldn't make it for tomorrow. But he'll be here next Saturday afternoon for sure. I had the papers all dated ahead of time. That's why I had to throw them out.
Oh, I see. Well, then it's just a matter of pushing everything up 1 week, isn't it?
Yeah. That's all there is to it.
Yes, because of a little thing. An overturned basket, you, Stanley, were kept from making a serious mistake. The next week moved slowly. But when Friday finally came, you were relieved as you watched Honest Abe place first the satchel, then the $30,000 into the safe. The next morning, you went to the office early and removed the satchel, which was to go to the bank. Then you hid behind the bar door and waited. Finally, your employer arrived. You watched him open the safe. Then, as he unlocked the drawer that held the money you needed so badly, you advanced stealthily.
Stand boss early for a change. Yeah, it's all here. 30 top.
For a breathless moment, Stanley, you stared in awe at the crumpled form at your feet. Satisfied that Honest Abe was unconscious, you took the money from the open safe drawer and fled to your car, the black satchel in your hand. A half hour later, you impatiently rang the buzzer at Barbara's apartment.
Stan, I've been so worried. Did everything go all right?
Well, I've got the money, but I'm behind schedule. Got stuck in traffic coming over here. Look, I'd better call now and pretend I'm at the bank. Abe's probably come to already and phoned the police. Here, put this money in a safe place. Huh?
All right, darling.
Hello?
Abe, this is Stan. I'm at the bank, all right, and
Wait a minute. Who is this?
What? This is Stanley Becker. Is this Henderson 1121?
That's right.
Then let me talk to Honest Abe, will you?
It's impossible, Mr. Becker.
What? Well, what's the matter? Who is this?
Detective Sergeant Cooper. There's been a stick-up here.
A stick-up? But Abe, he's all right, isn't he?
No, Mr. Becker, he isn't all right. As a matter of fact, he's dead.
You were stunned, Stanley Becker. For what you had designed as a simple robbery had now become an awful murder. But you quickly gained control of yourself, secure in the knowledge that when you faced the police, your well-rehearsed story would be beyond reproach. Soon, Stanley, I will write the final entry under your name in the Diary of Fate.
Before the surprising conclusion to the story of Stanley Becker, here is our announcer.
Your scheme to rob Honest Abe of $30,000 was complete. And as you drove from Barbara's apartment to your office, you were confident that the murder you had committed in no way affected the details of your story. When you entered the office, Detective Sergeant Cooper was waiting for you.
Now, Mr. Becker, would you mind telling me exactly what you did this morning?
Well, I got here about 9:30, and I opened the safe and took out this black satchel. Then I left a note for Abe and got into my car and drove to the bank.
When did you get to the bank?
A little after 10.
Mm, when you called and talked to me, were you at the bank then?
Yes. You see, Honest Abe always wanted me to call the minute I got there. He worried a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, is the money still in the satchel?
Oh, yes, of course. After you told me what had happened, I came back here at once. Besides, you know how the bank is on a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
That'd have been at least another half hour if I'd waited in line.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure of that, but thank you, Mr. Becker. That'll be all for now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss the rest of the details later at police headquarters.
At headquarters? But why do I have to go to headquarters?
It's customary. You see, Mr. Becker, you're under arrest for the murder of Honest Abe.
No. No, I didn't do it. I couldn't have. I was at the bank when it happened.
You're a liar, Becker. You couldn't have been at the bank.
What? Why not? Why couldn't I?
Because the bank is closed today, Mr. Becker. You see, it's a legal holiday.
A legal holiday?
Yes, it's Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Yes, Stanley. Even after death, Honest Abe's allegiance to Abraham Lincoln reached out to utterly destroy your detailed scheme for robbery. And hopelessly trapped in a lie, you confessed completely and thus condemned yourself to death and Barbara to long years in prison. And now it is time to close the book. In the case of Stanley Becker, as in the cases of all mortals, I, fate, am but the instrument of a plan. And the myriad little things that happen are the tools with which I work. Because he dropped his wallet, Stanley Becker met Honest Abe Davidson and an opportunity for success. But he chose for evil. Then, because of another little thing, an overturned wastebasket, his scheme was postponed to the 12th of February, a day on which his carefully planned alibi was worthless. Heed well the moral, you who listen, and remember, there is a page for you in the Diary of Fate.
Included in the cast were Herbert Litton, Virginia Gregg, Ken Peters, Dawes Butler, Ray Erlenborn, Gene Twombly, and Hal Sawyer. Diary of Fate is a Larry Finley production, transcribed in Hollywood.